Teens, guys, I guarantee you, I promise you with all my heart, if you give me your undivided attention, don't cut up, don't play, don't get distracted. I'm going to tell you, don't get distracted. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy is Satan, the devil. He's going to try to distract you tonight. Because I'm telling you, I promise you with all my heart, God's word is going to speak to you through this book tonight. I guarantee you. If you just give God your undivided attention. Just let Him talk to you tonight. All right? I appreciate it. Thank y'all so much for coming tonight. I'm excited to be in God's house. And with that last song you sung, and then you had How Great Thou Art, James, I listened to that on the way back to work from Galax. Brought it up on YouTube and just listening. And I just praised God on the way down 81. I was like, man, I wonder if James can play that. I did. I said, I wonder if James can play that. And then y'all threw that in there. I was like, yes. I was like, yes. Man, God is awesome. God is awesome. Thank you guys for the opportunity, Butch, for allowing me to preach this week. I hate to come to an end, but we all know revival can continue on in our hearts. Amen. All right, enough about me talking. We're going to get into God's Word. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight. Just overlook me. We're going to know better, nothing else to read than just God's Word. That's nothing else. I'm going to try to get through this. I'm going to preach the book of Jonah tonight. That's what I feel led to do. I'm going to get through as quick as I can. Just hang with me. There's no other better place than church to be. There's no other, nothing else better to watch on TV than watch the service tonight. I'll guarantee you that. Just let God talk to you tonight. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right quick. Father God, we come to you at your throne of grace tonight, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in this pulpit tonight. God, I thank you for the opportunity just to be here in church tonight. Lord, I thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for giving me the strength to get through the long days this week, Lord. We've had long days. I couldn't get off vacation, so be it. But you gave me strength, Lord. And Brother James told me when I'm weak, he is strong in me. Early this week, that inspired me. And that's so true, God. Thank you for just allowing us to be here tonight. God, we just come to you in your presence, Lord. We ask the Holy Spirit just come down and flow tonight. God, we ask the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here tonight, God. God, just come down and have a seat at Harvest Baptist Church and every other church that's preaching thy word tonight. You are omnipresent. You can be on the other side of the earth and also here at the same time. The devil can't do that. He has to send his minions out to do his handiwork. Because the devil's not omnipresent. You are omnipresent, God. You can be everywhere at one time, and you can speak to hearts all at one time, God. Thank you for that. You're the Almighty God. You're the Holy God. We give you honor and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Start at Jonah chapter 1. Now the word, we all know the story of Jonah. And those of my age or older, we go back to old Sunday school flannel graph days. You kids don't know what flannel graph is. So it's where we used to stick on people on the piece of flannel on a bulletin board. And that's how we used to stick figures on there. That's how the Sunday school teachers used to tell stories when I was your age and younger. So that's flannel graph. So, all right. Verse 1, chapter 1. Now when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Their wickedness in this city has come up before the Lord. Just like he sees everything that's going on now in the whole world. The wickedness of Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, has came up to the presence of the Lord. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus, and so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. You know, we all can get away from the presence of the Lord. If you're a child of God, you're always going to be in the presence of the Lord. He'll follow you, you know. But we can always get out from under the will of God. We can just start Jonah, you're about to find out. Jonah got out of the will of God, out of the will of God. You kids that gave your heart to God at camp, stay in the will of God. Learn early. Stay in the will of God. Keep learning the will of God for your life. You're doing good. Come in here to church to learn the will of God for your life. Stay under the presence of God. You get out of the will. There's no other safer place to be than in your life in the will of God. And you get out from the hand of will of God, a hedge of protection of God, you will learn what God has been protecting you from. You can learn what God has been protecting you from when you're out on the will of God. Which Jonah is about to find out. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Here's Jonah, he got on a ship to go far away. God told him to go preach to Nineveh. Their destruction was coming. But Jonah had nothing to do with that. He didn't want to have nothing to do with that. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. That's a lowercase g. His God. That's not the God. His God. Their own gods. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea and lightened it at them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and he was fast asleep. And that way we can be sometimes. We can go to sleep in our daily walk in our life. If we don't watch, we can get into a slumber. And that's when the devil can come in and work on our lives. Teenagers, kids, if you don't watch, girls, if you don't watch, some sly boy gonna come up to you and try to talk you into doing something you don't need to be doing. Some people gonna come up to you, try to give you some drugs or something. Lead you down a wrong path if you don't watch. All because of popularity, you know, to make you want to make you feel good or something like that. Or to make you have a loving relationship or something. If you don't watch. Adults, same way. We can go down the wrong path in life. Get out of the will of God, find our life into destruction, and then we find ourselves trying to beg God to get us back. I'm going to tell you, God can forgive you of sins, but He cannot relieve consequences of our sins. God's grace is sufficient for all our needs. He can cover everything you've ever done. Kids, whatever mistakes you may have made, you might be feeling down on yourself. God's grace is sufficient for all your needs. Know your value. Just like that $5. Know your value. Know your value. Whatever you've done. You might be feeling down tonight. You might be feeling like God cannot use you. Know your value. He can forgive you of your sins. Just like learn that now. And us adults, let's learn it. If we hadn't learned it. God forgives us of our sins, but He does not relieve the consequences of our sins. We got to deal. Just like Jonah is about to... He's in this ship. He's down asleep in the bottom of the ship. They're all scared to death. Storms about us. And he was asleep. There's storms about us in this whole world. And we're asleep. There's storms going on in America. Abortions are going on every single day. Babies are dying. Our own kids are on the street prostituting to make a living for their families. They're out here. They're dying on our streets. Shooting each other. Go out here to Chicago. There's race on race killing going on every single day. Yes. And the devil sits back and he loves it. God sits back and he's like, oh, why don't we just get it together? Why can't we just get it together? And then we turn around and blame God for our sinful nature. Yes. That goes on in this world. Just like Jonah's in the bottom of the ship asleep, he needed to wake up. We need to wake up. The church of the world of America needs to wake up and realize there's a God. There's a holy God. Just like Jonah fell asleep and the master of the ship come down, get ready to read this here, wake up and pray to your God. Sometimes we get like that as Christians. The world sees us as so much of a slumber and they're like, why don't you pray to your God? I thought you believed better than that. I thought you lived a life better than that. I'm going to tell you, once you give your life to God and you start living for Him and you go back out to the world, you more or less spit in Jesus' face what He did on you on the cross. A lot of people want the cross, but they don't want the sackcloth. A lot of people want the cross and the benefits, but they don't want the process. There's a process. Once you get saved, you're not going to be get all the information retained in your mind. You've got to get in here and retain it yourself. A lot of people want the cross and the heaven, but they don't want the process. They don't want the sackcloth. They don't want the sackcloth to put it on and get humble themselves in front of a holy God. They don't want it. They want the benefits. Just like us
young people these days, I heard my grandpa always say, you want everything now that it took us 30 years to get. We want the heaven. We want the joy. We want the peace. But we don't want the process, which only comes when we're broken. When we're humble, when we're broken. Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah confessed that he ran from the presence of the Lord. And then said unto him, then they said unto him, what shall we do with thee? That the sea may calm unto us, for the rock was with tempers. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. And if you back up a little bit, they said, so they cast lots. It's in verse 7. And they said to every one of his fellow, come and let us cast lots, and that he know who's caused this evil upon us. So they cast lots. They more or less gamble. But I tell you, God allowed them to win to know who it was. Because once you get out of the will of God, God is going to get your attention to get you back. Because once you become adopted child of God, you're His. You're in His kingdom. You've got His glory. You've got His peace. You've got His things, the gifts of everything He wants to give you if we obtain it and know it. Our people perish because of lack of knowledge. I don't know what verse that is. It just comes to my head. Christians perish due to lack of knowledge. Because we don't know this Bible. We don't know what God loves for us. Once we've become adopted child of God, we're in His family for good. Amen. We're in His family for good. That means you're a hip child. He's going to discipline you like a father should. Amen. And a lot of people don't know the true love of a father because the father has not stepped up to the plate here to raise their kids. That's why some adults to these days, they grew up with a single mother raising them. And they don't know the true love of a father. And then when you go and try to read on this, they just can't fathom the love of God. Because they never were shown that love. They never were shown that love. Amen. And wherefore, 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon him his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Just that one thing, they threw Jonah into the sea, and the sea calmed down. Your sin not only has effect on your life, it has effect, has a ripple effect on other people's lives.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why we got to be careful how we live our lives. Learn that early, teens. Learn that early. Your decisions affect other people's lives. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. We'll back up 17. Now the Lord had prepared. You're going to hear that prepared three times in this book. And the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Yes. I'll tell you, the Lord prepared a fish. Some stories say whale. We need to get our facts straight. It's a great fish. It's a fish. Lord prepared a fish. That means Lord prepared a fish for Jonah to live in the belly for 3 days and three nights. He prepared a fish to be inhabitable. God could have redone the molecular structure of that fish to put out oxygen in him so Jonah can live. If God's word said a donkey swallowed Jonah, I'd believe it.
Amen.
It's God's word. We should take God's word what it says. But God said he prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell he cried, I, and thou heardest my voice. And cried at belly of hell. Little theological things there. Some people believe that was a little hell that think Jonah died. I don't believe Jonah died. I believe Jonah lived in the belly of the whale.
Yes.
And it's like, what hell am I into? Not cursing. It's like Jonah said, what hell am I into? Describing what he was going through.
Yes.
In the belly.
That's right.
I cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Isn't that wonderful when God hears your voice?
Yes.
When you realize you in the despair you're in, you got yourself into, and you cry out, oh God, hear me. That's wonderful. That's what Jonah was doing here. Verse 3, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy ways passed over me. He's describing what he went through, what he's going through. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head.
Yes. Amen.
That's how we can feel when we get in sin sometimes. The sin can be so overbearing. Stuff we've gotten ourselves into. Just stress. Most of our stress comes on because of our own decisions.
That's right.
Most time we don't give tithes and offerings because we got ourselves in so much debt we are so stressed out we can't give. We don't give tithes because of debt and doubt. Most of the things in this life, God tells us how to manage our money. God tells us how to manage our life if we just obey it. If we just obey God, we'll be a whole lot better in our life. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. And you know, I think in Matthew, I think Mark, Jesus talked about when he was getting ready to prepare to die on the cross and raise himself 3 days later. He compared that to Jonah. Living in the belly of the whale, fish, great fish, 3 days and three nights. Jesus was portraying himself of the upcoming death, burial, and resurrection of himself to Jonah. When my soul fainted within me, verse 7, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into that holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving what we just done a while ago. Singing praises unto God. Worshiping Him. That's what it is. Wonder what tune was in Jonah's head at that time. Just thanks, voice of thanksgiving. And here thanksgiving is about upon us in a few weeks. Glory to God. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. I'm going to get in some little word tidbits here. In studying the Ninevites, you can obviously tell Jonah was bitter with Nineveh. He didn't want to tell them about God. His father was believed to be killed by the Ninevites. But it's not stated in the Bible. The only time, two times I think I found, was in Jonah. His dad is mentioned. And I think like King, 2 Kings somewhere, his dad's name is mentioned along with Jonah. The Ninevites were hideous people. The Ninevites, they were cruel people. They more or less killed people, chopped their heads off and put them on poles and lit them as candlesticks. Who's that sound like overseas?
Yes.
Sound like ISIS. But God cares so much for them, was willing to send Jonah ahead to tell them. He was bitter with them. He ran. He didn't want to tell them. Is there somebody in your life you technically in the flesh despise and you don't want to tell them about the Lord? Get ready to get to that in a minute. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. That's got to be a grotesque sight. Here's a man, I mean, you think fish. You go fishing, you smell like fish. You smell like you've been fishing for 3 days. I've been fishing before. You can't get the smell off of you. You can't get it off your clothes. You got to wash everything. And here's Jonah living in the belly of the great fish that God prepared for 3 days and three nights. Imagine what he sat in his stomach. The seaweed, the goo and the ugly stuff, that just looking around all the digestive juices in that belly. Can you imagine? I'm getting real here. I'm getting ready to make some points here. If you look up Nineveh and what they worship the fish god. I'm getting ready to drive a point home here. Here's Jonah living in the belly of the great fish that God prepared. All these gastric juices just eating on him. And he's living in there. Seaweed and stuff flying around, and all of a sudden he gets projectile. Well, puked. He had the fish puke him out on dry land. Can you imagine these gastric juices? They probably saturated his skin, made his skin all pickle looking. You ever sat in the bathtub for a long time and then your skin's all wrinkled up? Because you sit in the bathtub and relax. Or kids, you may have played in the bathtub and played with your toys or whatever, and you get up, your hands all prickling up and withered looking. Can you imagine what Jonah looked like? His hair probably is all dyed with all these acid gastric juices. They probably dyed his hair. He looked all pickle-faced, probably white as a sheet, and they spit him out on dry land. And the word of the Lord, in chapter 3, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, all right, here's God giving him a second chance. Ain't you glad God is the God of the second chances?
Amen.
He's the God of the second chance, third chance, 42nd chance, 1,967th chance, 1,637,432 second chance.
Amen.
That's grace. That's the grace of God. He's a God of second chances. Arise, he's telling Jonah again. Arise, verse 2, chapter 3. Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So he sort of got stern with him this time. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching I bid thee. Christian, has God ever told you to do something and you didn't do it and then you regret doing it? Regret not doing it?
Right.
Somebody been in the hospital and you've been wanting, you should go see them and pray for them. God dealing with you on your heart to go and pray for them. And somehow your schedule got messed up and you couldn't do it, but you had a chance to do it. But your flesh was too tired. And then come the chance. You missed that chance. You never know. You could have been the one to come and pray the prayer of faith and they would have come and got healed. I'm going to tell you, God heals. He heals in His will.
That's right.
I had a great uncle. Called my grandma, wanted me to come to the hospital. It was probably 15 years ago. His wife was she had a stroke. She was out. Doctors wouldn't hope for her. My grandma coming, called Michael, you need to go down to the hospital to see Monroe. His wife's real bad off. Go down there and they let me in the ICU and just grab her by the hand, pray for her. I said, nevertheless, God's will be done. God, if it's your will, let this woman come off out of this hospital and be well again. 3 or 4 days, she'd come out of the hospital. Doctors couldn't explain it. I know where it happened.
Amen.
It wasn't nothing I did. It wasn't nothing I did. God did it.
Amen.
And she lived 10 more years.
Amen.
She lived 10 more years. That's God. That wasn't me. That wasn't some televangelist on TV that you had to pay in 1995 to get a prayer cloth or whatever gift to send you to put under your pillow. That was the Holy God that we prayed to, that we got power in Jesus Christ if we just pray to God, keep our life straight, and stay in the will of God. God allows us to work. God wants to use you as a conduit, a vessel, to work through.
That's right.
So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Can you imagine? It takes 3 days to go around the city of Nineveh. And Jonah began to enter into the city at day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. You know, here's Jonah. He's pickled looking. Hair probably all dyed. Smelt. Come out of a fish's belly. Got puked out on land. And he's like, "Okay, I'll do what you tell me to do, God."
Right.
He goes in the city and starts preaching. I can't help but think, it's my own opinion, I can't help but think, they already worship fish god. And I just can't help but think that maybe somebody was out on that dry land and seen that happen.
Yeah.
And went back to running. All the great fish that God brought this prophet to us. Let's listen to him. They didn't kill him. They listened to him. And he was able to preach the gospel to more or less bring revival to Nineveh. And it's funny here. You're reading. Continue reading. And he caused it to be proclaimed, laid a law down, and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Ye, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Can you imagine if Washington, D.C. done that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Washington, D.C. came under revival and got humbled and just come down to a realize to the Holy God, all of Congress, all of Senate, all the lawmakers up there? We had a time when that almost happened. I believe it was 9/11. When 9/11 hit, churches were full that weekend. Why? They wanted answers. They wanted comfort. Our peace got attacked. Our country got attacked. Our livelihood got rocked. It made people think. And then about a month later, it all died and went back to normal. And we hadn't had nothing like that since. What's it going to take to bring our country to that point to realize and look at God?
Amen.
We've never been more divided as a nation than we are right now. Like I said the other night, we're fussing over race, we're fussing over flags, we're fussing over statues 100, 200 years ago. And what I don't get, it's my own personal opinion, this stuff's been up for 100 years. Why are you fighting about it now?
That's right.
Why now? What's the difference about it now? All it is just the devil
playing
his cards.
Yeah.
He's playing his cards. He's playing what cards he's got left in his hand to play. Because soon, God is going to bust the eastern skies and we're going home.
Amen.
The devil isn't trembling. He knows his time is near. He's trying to bring down anybody he can. Oh, what a cute baby. And the ADHD. Like dog. The devil's trying to use all his cards. He's trying to use everything to put people against each other. And if you don't watch, he'll put us against each other. He'll have this side of the church not talking to this side of the church. He'll have this front pew not talking to the back. He'll have you sitting on this side just to avoid the person that you got an argument with. And before you know it, the unity is broken in this church or any other church, and God can't work.
Amen.
Once unity is broken, he's in just like a Trojan horse. The devil come in like a Trojan horse and start sowing seeds of bitterness, wrath, dysfunction. Notice the king made a decree. It all comes from the top down. If our country and our leaders don't realize there's a God, they can't be the influence. They're already an influence. Some are already influenced. If it's LGBT or whatever you call it, we all know that's against God. We all know that's not God. That's not established for man and woman, proper marriage. Proper marriage is between one man, one woman. That's God. But I want to tell you, God loves the people. He don't love their sin, but he loves that that living that lifestyle. He loves them people. Just like Nineveh, he loved them people. And just like it comes from the top down, churches, us, if it's a pastor, the pastor's got to have himself right with God. The Sunday school teachers and the youth workers, the leadership of the church, deacons, wherever, they got to be in tune, unison with God in order to have the influence for the flow of God to work in the congregation, to work amongst the people. If something ain't right, got to do some house inspecting. And just like when we take communion, I don't know where I'm going with this, but we take communion. Do you know about communion? It's not just juice and crackers.
Right.
It represents the bread, and the bread represents the body of Jesus, and the juice represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you read in Corinthians, it tells you not to take it unworthily. And what that means, if you got sin in your life and you're not living your life right, don't you dare take that communion. Because a lot of people sleep among you. And some has died.
That's right.
You take communion unworthily, you're endangering yourself. And that's in, I think, 1 Corinthians. But coming back to Jonah, just that king made that decree. He told everybody, don't you dare eat, don't you dare drink. I want you in sackcloth, I want you in ashes, I want you to put all your beasts, your cattle, I want them in sackcloth and ashes, and praying to God to forgive you of your sins and turn and repent, and we're going to get our hearts right.
Amen.
Who's with me?
Amen.
Yeah! Yeah! Church, we need to search our hearts. We need to get our hearts right with God. Is there anything in your life that God's not pleasing with? Ask Him for strength. Get it under the blood of Christ. Ask forgiveness for it. Who's with me?
Amen.
Amen. That didn't sound good. Who's with me?
Amen.
Amen. We got to get unified. We got to be unified under Christ. Just like that king. Can you imagine king putting a decree out to put sackcloth and ashes on your donkeys, your cattle, your sheep, your horses? That was drastic. That was drastic. I think he didn't want to take a chance. He wanted God to bless him. In verse 9, chapter 3, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God, verse 10, saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. That's a holy God.
Amen.
Everybody wants to say, oh, loving God won't send me to hell. A loving God won't do that to me. A loving God won't bring judgment on me. A loving God won't do that. If we steer God's wrath long enough, he's going to bring stuff in our life to turn us around.
That's right.
We don't know what it is. I'm not judging God. God's got his own way. God's got his own way to press your buttons. He knows how to get your attention. He knows how to get mine.
Right.
He got mine when Christopher was 6 months old. God told me a long time ago, I want you to preach. And I came to Butch probably maybe a year or two ago. I said, I'm a little confused. I feel like I need to preach, but I feel like I'm not worthy to do it. I didn't know my worth. I didn't know my worth then, Butch.
That's right.
I know my worth now.
Amen.
And God's called me a second time, camp 2 years ago. I want you to preach.
Amen.
And I said, God, and Butch can testify to this, I've always said I don't beg no church to ask me to preach for them. I let God handle it. He will open the doors and he will shut the doors.
Amen.
That goes for my own church. That goes for here. That goes for any other place. I'm not begging no church to ask me to preach. God will open the door.
Yes.
And I remember saying that, God, I want you to open the door. And then about 5 minutes later, Butch texts me. I was on the fourth floor of a warehouse at work. Butch needed me to preach that Sunday. That was Friday. God will open doors for your life if you live for Him.
Amen.
And you live for Him more and more. You live by the light He shows you. He'll show you more light to live by. He's not gonna pour it all down on you one time. He's going to give you a little light to let you obey it. A little light at a time to let you obey it. And once you learn how to live that light and obey that little light he's showing you, he'll give you a little more insight. He'll give you a little more. If you want to learn, if you're desperate enough to learn, if you're desperate enough to put that spiritual sackcloth on and get on our hands and feet in front of God and ask him, get in that prayer closet, get to yourself and pray to God, show you, he'll show you. He'll show you some things. You got to be willing to be disciplined. That's what disciple comes from. This discipline. It takes discipline to live the Christian life.
Right.
It takes discipline.
That's right.
I could turn around and go back to my old way. I could cuss a Bruce Link right now, but I don't want to do it.
Amen.
Because it will ruin my testimony.
That's right.
Any of us that's believers can go back to our old lifestyle, turn our back on what God did on the cross for us, and go back to our old way. But I'm going to tell you, your old friends, they're not going to accept you.
Amen.
One, they know a Christian's not going to do that. And all they're going to do is call you a hypocrite. And it's been times in my life I've been called a hypocrite. And when somebody gets in your face and calls you a hypocrite, that speaks volumes down in your soul. And you know. It's just like God convicting you right there on your spot. You need to do a checkup from the neck up.
Amen.
Chapter 4. I'm going to tell you here. Here's where Jonah's bitterness comes in. Just hang with me. We're in God's word. We're all good.
Amen.
But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Whoa. Guys, did you hear that? Teens, did you hear that? Jonah was exceedingly angry that these people got saved. That's like your worst enemy getting saved and you mad about it. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, and I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Here is Jonah, went through what he went through. God brought him through punishment and a great fish that God prepared, belly, went through all that mess and turned around and witnessed to Nineveh. They all got saved, turned around to God, and God turned his wrath from them. And Jonah, reminded me of Jonah, just reminded me, he was just sitting there. I done told him the message. I done told him the message. They're not going to turn. They're not going to get right. But I done what God told me to do. I witnessed to them. They're not going to turn. I'm going to sit back up here. I'm going to sit on the cliff on the east side of the city. I'm going to look down and watch God throw the fire on. I'm going to eat my popcorn and sip my drink and watch God drop the fire on somebody. Are we like that sometimes? The guy went in and done that church shooting down in Texas. People call him scumbag on Facebook. Said he needed to bust hell wide open. Sound like Jonah attitude, didn't it? Sound like a Jonah attitude. And if we don't watch, we can get that way as Christians.
Sorry.
It's somebody that don't fit our standards, that don't fit our ways, and somebody that don't fit our ways or fit a certain criteria that we think somebody ought to be for a Christian, and we refuse to tell them. Walk right by them daily, or walk right by them. God tugging at your heart, hey, speak to somebody.
Amen.
Pray for this person. And you're like, nah. And they could be the most roughest character, have tattoo sleeves all the way up their arms or whatever, and we'll turn around and walk away from them. I'll tell you, God died for them too. God died for the heroin addict on the street. He died for the prostitute. He died for the one begging for money out here on whatever street. He died for them too. He died for the ones in the prisons. He died for the ones that's out on the street struggling. He died for them out on the homeless, sleeping under a porch, that don't have a roof over their head because they're getting by the best they can. Until we know how they are, we shouldn't judge.
Amen.
And we still shouldn't judge, even though we know how they are.
Amen.
And just like the audacity of Jonah, just to tell God, if it's the way it's going to be, just go on and kill me. Rather than see them come to Christ. That's like us coming together, knowing what ISIS has done over in Afghanistan. All the people that they've killed. All the images that was shown on TV. Putting Christians in a cage and setting them on fire alive. Cutting their heads off and putting it on YouTube channel for the world's sake. I'm getting gross, but it ain't nothing no better and no worse than what you see already on TV. So, let's get real. I'll tell you, God still loves the ISIS people over there. That's ISIS. God would love to see him turn around and come to Christ and know Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, ISIS reminded me of somebody, Paul. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. He was one of the Sadducees, Pharisees of the land. He knew all the Bible. Knew it up and down, sideways, could quote it every which way, could outshine any of us. But he persecuted Christians. Walked at their doorstep, kicked their doors in, killed little babies like that right there. Killed women and children just like that. Until him and God had a breakdown moment on the road to Damascus.
That's right.
God put him down off his horse and blinded him.
That's right.
And what was it? Ananias? God told Ananias to come. I want you to go see Saul of Tarsus. And I want you to come and I want you to lay hands on him, brother. I want you to go lay hands on Saul of Tarsus and bring his sight back. And now, can you imagine Ananias? He could have had a Jonah moment. He could have had a Jonah moment. He could have said no. I'm not going to see that man. He killed my grandmother. Oh, he could kill my, he killed my sister. Stabbed him right in front of me. And you're asking me to go and lay hands on him, God, and bring his sight back? He could have said, no, uh-uh. But he obeyed. He was scared, but he obeyed. He come and laid hands on Saul, and the blindness like shackles, shells like scales fell off his eyes. And Paul, Saul became Paul and became one of the greatest apostles for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wrote the majority of the New Testament for us to know and live by.
Amen.
Thank God Ananias didn't have a Jonah moment. Mm-hmm. Praise God Ananias didn't have a Jonah moment.
Amen.
We wouldn't have the Bible. We wouldn't have half the Bible now.
That's right. There's
no telling. Verse 4. Then said, therefore the Lord take, I beseech you, in verse 3, I beseech thee my life for me. He'd rather die than to see Nineveh saved. That's something. That's a bad attitude of a Christian. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? That's a question mark. Angry? Ask him a question. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city.
Right.
At that point, he was still hoping that God just more or less throw a lightning bolt down, drop it down like Sodom and Gomorrah. Boom, that's it. Burn them up. Perish. God, here again, God's preparing. Now, keep in mind what I said earlier. Here it is, all pickled Jonah. The gastric juices worked on his skin, probably ate his hair off, whatever. He's sensitive. He's probably, and remember, they're out in the desert now. They're out overseas in that area of desert and dry land over there now. Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd, a vegetable, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. God's getting ready to show him where his heart is. But he had mercy on him to bring him a gourd to provide shade on him. Even though we wreck our lives sometimes, it grieves God.
Right.
And he feels sorry for us. And he'll send that gourd-like mercy to sprout up around us.
Amen.
It could be a love of a pastor coming to visit you. A love of a Sunday school teacher's call to check on you. It could be an old buddy 5-10 years ago just to call you to check on you and see how you're doing. Can he do anything? Can he pray for you? Mercy of God through a gourd to Jonah.
Amen.
And so Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. All right, here we go. God's getting ready to show him where his heart is. Verse 7. Here's God prepared a worm. That's the third prepared. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind blowing straight in Jonah's face. Vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Here he is talking back to God. That's brave stuff. God could have took him out of here. Let's read that again. And it came to pass when the sun did rise, and God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and that he fainted and wished in himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, the great city wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? That's the last verse of the book right there, verse 11. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Question mark. That book ends with a question mark. Tell you, Jonah had more pity over losing the material thing that protected him, that God brought him, that God raised it up to protect him, than he had over Nineveh.
Yeah, that's right.
And going over that reminded me, I lost my iPad last year, around about this time. I came home, worried about my van, trying to find out what was going on with my van. It was leaking antifreeze. Went to go get some stop leak. And I actually put my iPad on top of my Ford Focus, went to town. I realized that's where I lost it on the way to town, but I didn't know it at the time. I heard a clunk on the roof, but I didn't put it all together until later. Lost my iPad. Come back home, worked on the van, got it going, and realized I was going to do some work on it, and I realized, where's my iPad at? I cried. I bawled like a baby because I had Christopher's pictures on it from the hospital, songs and stuff, things I videoed from the church. I went 40. I went to Route 40. It was like 30 degrees that night. And I was mad at myself for losing it. And I got mad at myself. And here I am walking down 40 with a flashlight looking for an iPad. And I'm crying. I tell you, God dealt with my conscience. He said, too bad you won't cry over a soul like this. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man.
That's right.
He said, too bad you ain't going to a flashlight, walking house to house and trying to witness somebody. You're right here. One iPad.
You're right,
bro. I'm like, oh, man. God. And then I showed an attitude like Jonah. I got in the car, threw the flashlight in the passenger seat, pouted just like Jonah. See, I'm broken. I'm broken just like you. We're vulnerable. Preachers are vulnerable.
Yes, sir.
Butch has moments. Ask Linda. Ask my wife. I bawled and cried over an iPad. And it's like God told me in my conscience, when's the last time you bawled and cried over a soul getting saved? And I got back in the car, got back to the house, asked God to forgive me. And then, about 3 weeks later, because I used the iPad at church to live stream with. Even though I was doing something for God, but I was using it as I thought of it that much like a material thing. I was willing to cry over it more than a soul or witnessing. I'll tell you, God had mercy on me. About a month later, an old friend of mine gave me an old iPad, one of the first generation iPads, so I can get back to using for live stream. She heard that I lost my iPad through Facebook and gave it to me free of charge, no charge. And still got it to this day. And it reminds me of my Jonah moment. And this leaves with a question mark. And if you go one book over to Nahum, it talks about the destruction of Nineveh. They turned around and went to God for, say, probably about 150, 200 years. And they went back to their old ways and eventually was destroyed. I'm not going to read that, but I just want to tell you. Last part of here, showing here, the righteous judgment and no healing for Nineveh. I'm going to tell you, America's close. America could fall at any time. I'm going to tell you, there's a verse in Proverbs, Brenda Bland knows it, where the heart of the king, God stirreth. God knows every king on this earth. He knows Trump. He knows the crazy rocket man overseas. He stirs the heart of what he wants. God knows what's going on in this world. He's aware. God could bring judgment on this nation. God could bring judgment on us. This has been an experience doing this revival. Never done a revival before. But God has showed me a lot in what learning.
Amen.
I'm just going to ask, I'm going to turn it over to Butch here in a minute. Invitation. I want to ask tonight, do you have a Jonah spirit about you that wants somebody under the judgment of God rather than talking to them about Jesus Christ? Do we have a Jonah attitude? Is there something? Just search your own heart tonight.